Let me make a true confession. I have never been in love before, but since you came in my direction, I've had a change of heart. My girls had come a dime a dozen. I fed them the things they love to hear. I never was wanting for a lover, but I never knew what true love was indeed. Girl, I'm in love with you, sure as the sky is blue. Just let me through to you. Yes, girl, my love is true. Girl, I'm in love with you, sure as the sky is blue. Just let me through to you. Yes, girl, my love is true. A great pretender. For the very first time, I'm for real. You got me listening to my heart now. You gotta believe how I feel. I'm ready to become the giver. Now that I realize it's give and take. Ooh, your love has broken my decision. This time of night, just out on the main. I gotta tell you, baby. Girl, I'm in love with you. Sure as the sky is blue. Just let me prove to you. Yes, girl, my love is true. Girl, I'm in love with you. Sure as the sky is blue. Just let me prove to you. Yes, girl, my love is true.
And good morning. It's another beautiful day in paradise. And yes, indeed, we are so glad that you're here with us. It's a beautiful day to be alive. And I just want to say to all our panelists that your microphones are on. And this morning, as every morning that we do this, we talk about cultural heritage, musical influences, revolutionary mindset, enlightenment, norms, and Afrocentric qualities in the culture that we live in. And believe it or not, numerology, right? Now, I would have to go to Mr. Harris to ask him, what exactly is numerology, right? Mr. Harris, maybe you can tackle that one real fast, right, as you introduce and say good morning. Mr. Harris, you're on first. Take it away.
All right, good morning to everyone. And as far as numerology goes, it's just it's the study of the observations of stuff in nature based on certain numbers and combinations of numbers.
Okay.
It's been something that's been done within our community for thousands of years. You know, it's just another step from astrology.
Okay. Okay. All right. And I don't mean to, you know, take you down that road. I just wanted some clarification, and I'm glad you related it to nature. That's just so important with Earth Day just having passed this past week. As we continue, I'd like to bring on the Black Librarian for him to say good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Thank you so much. We're going to come back to him later on, right? Tanisha Gardner, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
Okay. All right. And I'd like for Justin Hill, come on and say good morning. And just tell the audience what you will be presenting this morning. The real deal, Justin Hill.
Good morning, everybody.
Okay. What are you going to be presenting for the audience this morning?
Today, I am going to be presenting John Hope Franklin and for definitions of the word freedom.
Okay. And Walter, who are you going to be presenting this morning?
Yes, for today's show, I will be presenting Benjamin Banneker, the definition of apt, and also Luther Vandross.
All right. Now, that being said, I would like to just add on by saying music is like poetry and has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meaning that we can comprehend, like definitions. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking you to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora. And you are sure to find our quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibrations. And like Sister Denisha Gardner said, vibrations are real. People can feel your vibe when you walk in the room. Right. So I want to thank everybody for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. We welcome you back again for another edition of Quest Group Radio featuring our student hosts, Walter Pierce and Justin Hill. Now, without any further ado, I'd like to introduce to you our first student host who will. Hold on. I made a mistake there. All right. Mistake corrected. All right. Mr. Walter Pierce, good morning again.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. You see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, my diamond this week is on Benjamin Banneker. And Banneker, a free man, was raised on a farm near Baltimore that he would eventually inherit from his father. Although he periodically attended a one-room Quaker schoolhouse, Banneker was largely self-educated and did much of his learning through the reading of borrowed books. Early on, he demonstrated a particular facility for mathematics. While still a young man, he built a wooden clock that would keep precise time. Banneker was encouraged in the study of astronomy by George Ellicott, a Quaker and amateur astronomer whose family owned nearby mills. As early as 1788, Banneker began to make astronomical calculations, and he accurately predicted a solar eclipse that occurred in 1789. In 1791, while working with Andrew Ellicott and others in surveying the land that would become Washington, D.C., Banneker made other astronomical observations. As a pamphleteer, Banneker imposed slavery and advocated civil rights. In 1791, he sent Thomas Jefferson, then U.S. Secretary of State, a letter asking Jefferson's aid in bringing about better conditions for African Americans. With the letter, Banneker also sent a handwritten copy of the manuscript for his 1972 Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia almanac, which he continued to publish annually through 1797. And that concludes my segment on Benjamin Banneker. And as you can see, another African-American scientist who was in a very unique field of science, which was astronomy. And, you know, his accomplishments of being able to predict a solar eclipse during the time where there wasn't as great of technology as there is today is a very good accomplishment. And also, he has a school named after him in the Newark area, East Orange, called Benjamin Banneker, I believe elementary school. So, you know, his work and his dedication to his craft is being recognized even today, and we got to give a shout out to Benjamin Banneker. So thank you for listening. This is female host Walter Pierce on 89.5 WSOU.
The bad boy swinging.
I hope your mama don't look in your room. tonight. He's gonna sit by her window, 'cause he sure wants to get out of here.
Okay, we're back, and I need everybody to put your thinking caps on because I'm coming at you, right? First of all, I'd like to bring our panelist, Mr. Shelton Harris, back on and just tell us a little bit about Benjamin Banneker. Give us some insight in how much you like what he's done, his contribution. Just add a little flavor to Walter's presentation.
Yeah, first let me say Walter did a good job on his presentation. But one of the most like common things that Benjamin Banneker has been known for was the supposedly building the first American clock made out of mostly wood. You know, and just to even consider all of the intricate gears and all that stuff that goes together to make a clock work in the first place, to be doing a lot of that stuff made out of wood, not just the facade, but a lot of the gearings and stuff like that. It took a lot of patience, a lot of mathematical calculations, and a lot of skill. And, you know, so the brother was definitely a Renaissance man before his time. You know, he understood, you know, the cycles of the seasons and stuff. That's why he was writing his almanacs. You know, he even predicted a solar eclipse. You know, but the brother was heavy because we know who he was. But he was not necessarily unique, because a lot of our people had those same kind of talents that just weren't known. You know, but I'm glad that he's known, so at least somebody can start the conversation about what we can do.
Okay. Mr. Harris, thank you so much. And that allows me to transition to the Black Librarian and bring him in. And your question is not going to be that simple. My question to you is it important for our youth? Is it important for our youth to have a revolutionary mindset?
Yes, I would say yes, because what happens is change is inevitable. And so when you're building civilizations or dealing with the civilization, you have to make sure that you can actually make it better. I think the future generation is supposed to make the are responsible, and the parents are responsible to make the future better and brighter. That is inclusive of science, art, all of the seven liberal arts. And change is inevitable. And we have to, as a people and as a human race, be able to adjust and shift to change for the better. In terms of Dr. Banneker, Benjamin Banneker, I would agree. If you read the book Negro in Our History, a lot of people talk about Carter G. Woodson's book entitled From Slavery, forget the title. But in terms of the book that I'm talking about now, is entitled The Negro in Our History. It's about an 800-900 page book that's more like a compendium of information dealing with black accomplishments. In the book, it talks about black mathematicians, black scientists that did, and they were slaves. A lot of the slaves wasn't just slaves picking cotton. Some of the slaves had duties and jobs as accountants and so on and so forth, stuff like that. And these are facts. If you read The Negro in Our History, if you read the book entitled The Pale Fox, it talks about the Dogon tribe from out of Mali and how they plotted the A, B, and T series, and they're sound and astute mathematicians. I mean, calculations beyond differential equations and what have you. And this is part of our history. So what Benjamin was doing and what he had accomplished is part of his genetic structure, part of our genetic structure. We have mathematicians, architects, and what have you. And that's just who we are. The pyramids, if for example, Giza, built by mathematicians. So it doesn't surprise me that Benjamin Banneker would be able to do what he had done. If you read my famous historian, Ivan Van Cernwald, Blacks in Science, all of the numerous accomplishments. And to Dr. Harrison's point, to build the clock 60 seconds, every 60 seconds and count on a minute and an hour, you know, it's very phenomenal. We was actually able to plot that with the sundial as a people. So it's not as if, me personally, I know based on reading the history that this is what we do. This is what we have done. And this is what we will continue to do as a people.
Thank you so much. You know, I'm feeling like I got a revolutionary mindset right now. I've definitely been enlightened, right? But I'm going to come to Tanisha. And Tanisha, as you comment on Benjamin Banneker, I'd like for you to talk about the importance of cultural heritage.
Yeah, definitely important. I guess what everyone says, you have to know who you are. And when you understand your culture, you understand your history and your lineage, especially when you go back to ancient Egypt. You know, the Greeks called him Hermes, but in Egypt we called him Thoth, and he was the master of mathematics. Even if you trace to the Bible, God told you to look towards the stars to give you your signs. And just for Benjamin Banneker to be blessed with the gift of the knowledge of the ancient times, that is very it's very pivotal, because it makes you look at your own life and what we're doing now. And when you study the layout of Washington, D.C. by itself, is definitely mathematical. And the simple fact that you asked the question about numerology and how numerology is connected to astrology, which Benjamin Banneker was a master at. And when you look at, for instance, they're talking about the alignments of the major buildings in the public squares. It was called the Golden Section, because it actually it connected into a perfect alignment of a star constellation, and what is the power behind that. And I think we need to definitely start tapping back into our psyche and to see what are the messages that our ancestors are giving us, and to be able to reawaken it, because when you're dealing with Earth has ley lines, and it's everything has energy forces. So just imagine what energy that they are harvesting or harnessing within those particular areas, and how does that motivate a country or a world, and how does it deal with our psyche as a whole? And I think we really need to start tapping into that and really be able to take our minds to another level to be able to create more great things.
Oh, my goodness. I'm definitely on cloud nine. We're going to come back. And, Justin, I want you to get ready and present a definition for us, right? And that's sure to have us talking on the line, right? Don't anyone go anyplace. Keep it locked. We are Quest Youth Radio, the best youth radio.
We live from the head down and not the feet up. And I'm a dome with a frown that's making this up. And I'm fine, fine, under cloud nine. Yes, I wear the lamb's wool, the feet of burnt brass, and the wool defies gravity like the nature of a gas. And I'm fine. Been chosen to wear the conscious cloud, and I'm fine, fine, under cloud nine. I be a chameleon and wear it bone straight, but it's so much stronger when it's in its natural state, and I'm fine.
Oh.
And welcome back. You know, believe in who you are, all right, on cloud nine, but more importantly, right here on earth, right? And that being said, it's time for the real deal. Mr. Justin Hill with his definition for today. Justin, take it away, and good morning once again.
Good morning, everybody. I am student host Justin Hill on WSLU. And for my first segment, which is definitions, will be on the word freedom. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis, say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And freedom is understood as either having the ability to act or change without constraint or to possess the power and resources to fulfill one's purpose. Freedom is often associated with liberty in the sense of giving oneself their own laws and with having rights and their civil liberties with which to exercise them without undue interference by the state. Frequently discussed kinds of power tissue freedom include freedom of assembly, freedom of association, freedom of choice, and freedom of speech. And one definition, something is free if it can change easily and it is not constrained in its present state. In philosophy and religion, freedom is sometimes associated with having free will and being without undue or unjust constraints on that will, such as enslavement. And the reason why I chose freedom was because during slavery, many people was free and many people was not, and there's still slavery happening, and many African Americans are free and owning businesses. And that concludes my segment on definitions. I thank you guys for listening. Again, this is student host Justin Hill.
We're going to have something to talk about after this. This is
go home. what's wrong with the world today. Things just got to get better.
Because it's always something, I guess when you think of freedom is that you could do as well, but you still have constraints on it, because with freedom comes consequences, because it's like an action to reaction. And I think as a whole, as a human race, it's just like you're always going to have those opposing forces. And it's like, how do you keep a balance to be able to, I guess, truly create the concept of freedom.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. I'm going to go straight to Mr. Harris, and then I'm going to go to the Black Librarian. Mr. Harris, it's a norm. It seems to be a norm to avoid being enlightened. Help me out here. It doesn't make any sense.
As far as enlightenment, or as far as
enlightenment of
as
our
far
freedom.
As my concept for, oh yeah, well, the first thing, you know, I believe that everybody has a genuine gift that they can excel almost higher or better than anybody else, and freedom to me is being able to pursue that gift without the hindrances of society, nature, or even your own personal mindset, because sometimes we can shoot ourselves in the foot when it comes down to freedom, you know, and it's something that we need to, like Tanisha said, it's something that's an ongoing struggle, because there's always going to be somebody who's going to say no to your yes, and you have to understand that your yes is more powerful than their no, and then be able to move on regardless of the consequence.
Okay.
To me, that's freedom.
All right. Okay. Yeah. I want to bring in the Black Librarian. I want to ask you, is it okay for me to be free, to have an Afrocentric state of mind or mindset? But more importantly, what did you think about Justin's segment? Take it away, brother.
I think Justin's segment was beautiful, eloquent, well put. But I believe that with freedom comes a lot of responsibility. With freedom comes a lot of sacrifices, inevitable sacrifices when you decide to be free. Kind of reminds me of the movie that I watched called Braveheart, when William Wallace decided to make the decision to stand up against the British at the end of the movie, they asked him, what do you want? And he said, freedom. And the reason why he said freedom is because of the fact that that's what it was about for him. And the minute that he said freedom, they dropped the guillotine around his, they killed him. He knew that him actually being honest about what he wanted, that was the sacrifice that was being made. I think when we think about revolutionary struggle, a lot of people think about it from a very philosophical point of view. But with revolutionary struggle and freedom is bloody. You can look at it as far as the Haitian Revolution in 1804. That was a bloody revolutionary struggle against the French, the British, and the Spaniards. Three different armies that they fought for freedom. And ever since then, they actually stood up for themselves. Haiti haven't been the same since 1804, still to this day.
Mm.
So when you stand up for freedom and you make sacrifices, you have to understand that with sacrifices come unconditional consequences. But does that mean that you don't stand up for freedom, justice, and equality? So
okay,
there's sacrifices that are made with freedom. Whether it's one army against the other, there's sacrifices that are being made when relationships go dire and bad. And despite how much money is in the middle or how much money is involved, you have to make the decision to move on to free yourself. So independence means consequences, responsibilities, and changing your reality as you know it.
Okay. I know you can go on, but I'm going to cut you off because we're running short on time. But thank you for that input, and that was definitely insightful. And now I'd like to bring on our student host, Walter Pierce. Walter, I'd like for you to make a quick comment about Justin's segment on freedom, and then I would like for you to continue and transition into your next segment. Take it away.
Yeah, in short terms, you know, we're still fighting for freedom even today. So let's continue to progress. But to continue on with my next segment of today, it is definitions. And this segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us, define existence, and not have it defined for us. And my definition for this week is apt. An apt is basically inappropriate or suitable in a certain circumstances. So what it's saying is the way somebody acts or something that is said, making sure that it is suitable and appropriate for a certain situation that you're in. And, you know, this could relate to a lot of us today and a lot of our people in history. You know, there's situations out there where people do things that are not appropriate for the circumstances that people are in. You know, when we talk about people who are struggling out there, you know, financially, and, you know, people say certain things or do certain things that make it their situation even worse, not understanding another person's, you know, struggle could really affect, you know, a lot of people. And what we have to learn, especially today, is how to say things and do things that could be appropriate or help out people and not bring people down. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on today, especially in our world today, that you know, a lot of different struggles that are going on. And there's people out there who purposely say things to bring down another person, knowing their situation is bad at the moment, and they purposely make it even worse. To make our society better and make us better people, what we should actually be doing is doing more positive for somebody, making their situation even more positive, because everybody out there has a struggle, and, you know, people out there need help. So, you know, that's what we need to do, just help each other out, really the message of this definition segment for today. And that includes what I have for that. Thank you.
Okay. You're definitely welcome. And thank you for that enlightenment and understanding in that word. We're going to continue now with the next segment presented by The Real Deal, once again, Mr. Justin Hill, student host, for his segment of Diamonds.
Goodbye. And like he said, for my next segment, which is Diamonds, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. And for my segment for Diamonds is on John Hope Franklin. And John Hope Franklin was born 1915. And he has accumulated a number of awards as one of America's most accomplished historians. His 1947 study of the African-American experience from slavery to freedom remains among the most notable and widely read works in the field. Dr. Franklin earned his PhD at Harvard University in 1941 and has taught at a number of institutions, including Duke University, Howard University, and the University of Chicago. In addition to the American Historical Association studies, he has served as president of the African Studies Association, the Southern Historical Association, and the Organization of African Americans. He has been a member of the Board of Trustees of Fisk University, the Chicago Public Library, and the Chicago Symphony Orchestra Association. Dr. Franklin has served on a number of national commissions, including the National Council of the Humanities, the President's Advisory Commission on Appointments, and One America. And the reason why I chose John Hope Franklin is because I learned about him in school, and I think he was a very important person. And that concludes my segment on Diamonds. I thank you guys for listening. Again, this is your host, Justin Hill, on WSOU.
Okay. Justin, thank you very much for that presentation on John Hope Franklin. And we're going to transition and keep it moving right now because of our lack of time. And it's now time for our segment of Curtains. Now, Curtains is our segment where we talk about a musical artist. You see, many recording artists have made money from the community, but this is the segment where we talk about what benefits the community has gained from that particular artist. And this morning, our student host, Walter Pierce, will present a segment on the lyrical consciousness of Mr. Luther Vandross. Take it away.
Thank you for that. And, you know, everybody knows about, you know, the larger-than-life talents and persona that Luther Vandross has. you know, with the great music he has made and the impact he has had on other people. But yet, a lot of people don't know is that he suffered alone with his diabetes. You know, he had an incredible drive for perfection, and he had a bigger passion for performing, entertaining, and making his audience happy, whether through a concert, television, movie, or even Sesame Street, which he was on. Yet, he did not pause for himself. It led to his stroke and eventually complications causing his death, a heartbreaking day for his family, friends, and millions of fans. This inconceivable occurrence was the founding inspiration for his personal assistant named Mac to start Diabetic. You know, Luther's personal assistant, he knew the attitudes and the things that Luther Vandross felt about diabetes. And, you know, one of the things that Luther Vandross wanted to do is be able to help other people that were suffering from the same thing that he was doing. So with the help of, you know, family, friends, and things of that nature, his personal assistant Max was able to, you know, start this program, which, you know, basically helps support other people suffering through diabetes. And, you know, with all the great music and the impact that Luther Vandross has, you know, this was able to help the program as well, you know, be able to grow and get more people involved in helping out. So, again, I thank you for listening to my segment on Luther Vandross. Again, a lot of people didn't know about, you know, what he was suffering through, and also that he wanted to help others not suffer from the same things that he was going through. And, again, this is student host Walter Pierce on 89.5 WSOU.
Okay, it's time for us to go. But before we go, I'd like for everybody to have the last word. And, you know, today's show was so impactful, you know, we can have another show. So starting with Justin, what you think about the show, and say goodbye.
I thought today's show was great. Peace. I thought today's show was great.
Okay, good enough. Black Librarian, what you think about today's show?
Great show. Enjoy your weekend. Beautiful day out.
All right. And Mr. Harris, what you think about today's show?
Very insightful. We need to do this again sometime.
Definitely. And what do you walk away thinking, Tanisha Gardner, about today's show?
Oh, that we definitely need to do a YouTube channel so people can see the videos and learn more about it.
Go on now. Right. We have our number one fan, Val. Good morning, and how are you?
Good morning, Quest Youth Radio.
Okay. All right. And Walter, I'd like for you to close us out. And after that, we're going to, you know, listen to more Luther.
I thank you for listening to another edition of Quest Community Vibration, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Florida. Quest Youth Radio is
the best youth radio.
Yep.